So I'd like to, first of all, just welcome you all to Boston and have a few rounds of applause here this morning. So first of all, I'd like to really extend our appreciation to Alde Maria and the Massachusetts Department of Public Health for hosting us this year. So the next group I'd like to recognize is the Program Planning Committee. Could folks please stand if you're on the Planning Committee? I think we have some here. And just a warm round of applause. Thanks so much for all the work that you did in planning the conference. And then the next group is CSTE staff. We're very fortunate to have an outstanding group of CSTE headquarters staff. So if staff could please stand, we'd love to give you a round of applause. So I think they're back in there. And then last but not least, the CSTE Executive Board. The board is comprised of volunteers from across the country. So if people on the Executive Board could please stand. We'd like to give you all a round of applause. Thank you. So I'm pleased to announce that the CSTE annual conference appears to be gaining in popularity. The last two years have been our best best attended conferences ever, and I think this year stands to be even better than those two. So thanks so much to all of you for coming, and we really appreciate it. The CSTE Annual Conference is a unique opportunity to bring together professionals from around the country and representing numerous programs and agencies and discussing a wide range of applied epidemiology topics. I encourage you all to participate in sessions within and outside of your subject matter expertise and readily engage in the discussions. In my mind, the discussions that occur here at the CSTE Annual Conference are really what makes it such a rich experience for folks. And just on a personal note, when I first entered into Applied Public Health, I was an EIS officer back in 2001, assigned to the Alaska Department of Health, and I asked my primary supervisor at the time, Dr. John Madaw, who retired last year from public health, I said, "So John, out of all the conferences that I could go to, which ones should I plan on attending every year?" And he said, "The only one you need to go to is CSTE." And I definitely found that to be very true. So thank you all for attending the conference this year. I hope you enjoy the meeting, and I hope you get a chance to get out and enjoy Boston a little bit. So now I'll turn the floor over to our CSTE president, Dr. Alde Maria.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe. I want to echo Joe's gratitude for all of you coming. We actually topped out over 1,300 people at this meeting this year, and it's great to have you all here. I'm sort of biased because except for 3 years in the Bronx, I spent all my life pretty much. Actually, I calculated this, which is a good epidemiologic thing to do. I spent approximately 90% of my life within 15 miles of where we are now. So I have a certain bias about the city and the state, and I do hope that you take the opportunity to see some of it beyond the conference. I know it's difficult with the way this conference is scheduled, but it certainly would be well worth your time. The Department of Public Health here in Massachusetts, where I work, has a long history, and one of the theme of this conference is to reflect on our history and look towards the future. And I hope you'll allow me the opportunity to just reflect back on some of the history here. In 1634, we had the first sanitation ordinances in the city of Boston. It had mostly to do with where you couldn't leave rotting fish and garbage, but it was an attempt to enhance the quality of life. And then 1648, the first quarantine measures. 1721, Cotton Mather and the first use of inoculation against smallpox in the New World. food and drug laws in 1785. In 1799, the Boston Board of Health, chaired by Paul Revere. In 1800, Benjamin Waterhouse gave the first vaccinations in the New World. And by 1809, just 9 years later, Massachusetts passed a law requiring vaccination of the public. In 1850, there was the Massachusetts Sanitation Report, known as the Shattuck Report, a seminal work in public health history. In 1855, there were school entry vaccination requirements. It wasn't until 1869, however, that a Board of Health was established for Massachusetts, and that was the precursor of our department now. In 1873, the first graduate nurse in America, Linda Richards, graduated her training. In 1887, there was the Lawrence Experiment Station up in Lawrence doing work on the newly discovered germ theory. And by 1891, we had a food and drug laboratory. In 1891, we also had the first municipal TB sanitarium in the town of Sharon. And 1894, a public health laboratory, which has been pointed out to me as second to New York City. In 1898, we had the first state TB sanitarium. And then in 1905, Jacobson v. Massachusetts, the first challenge, constitutional challenge to public health police powers. And that is a critical decision to everything that we do in public health. And that resulted when the Reverend Henning Jacobson refused vaccination and refused to pay his $5 fine for doing so, and it got to the Supreme Court several years later. And a decision was made that we do have these powers, powers of quarantine, powers to mandate vaccination. It really covered the whole gamut, even though it's focused on our power to require vaccination. But also important, it's sort of sometimes missed in considering that, it also prescribed the guidelines for doing that in terms of equity, in terms of due process and other legal considerations. And in 1906, Massachusetts had the first school health law related to the new profession of school nursing, first public health cancer hospital in 1926. In 1962, the first statewide mandatory newborn screening. In 1971, the first childhood lead poisoning prevention requirements. And then in 1986, immunization of college students. In 1993, universal blood lead screening. Now, I also have to be fair, I also have to point out we had the witchcraft thing. And we did have, in 1837, actually, they revoked the mandatory vaccination requirement because there was no smallpox after all. That was a mistake. And then we did see fit to have the first leprosarium and only state leprosarium. So it hasn't all been good. And then there was that bad thing about the compounding center, which was horrible. So it's not all good, but I think, you know, I treasure this history and I treasure the opportunity to share it with you. On the screen is Alexander Langmuir, who we all know is famous for, he was actually, they actually called him the chief epidemiologist of the CDC and the founder of the Epidemic Intelligence Service. He's up here because the other thing that he did was really get this organization started. When he approached ASTHO in 1951 with a request that each state designate a state epidemiologist, and those state epidemiologists come together in conference to decide what should be nationally notifiable and what the case definitions should be. That is the fundamental founding obligation of this organization, and to this day remains. And he did that because he recognized in the post-war period the need to have case definitions because of what transpired with malaria, which was thought to cause hundreds of thousands of cases of disease in the United States every year, but turned out because the case definition was so loose, really, with the implementation of DDT and mosquito control, was no longer a problem. So he recognized the need for having good case definitions, but he also recognized the need that you can't have a national notifiable disease system unless the diseases are reportable in the states. And so the other reason for having this organization was bring people together and agree on these diseases and agree on these conditions now, and also to make them reportable in the states. Now, I don't have an early picture of CSTE. There must be some somewhere, but I didn't. But I have an early picture of where we are now, and to make the point that, like any organic process of evolution, that this organization has evolved as Boston has evolved, and the membership has evolved substantially over the years. And as this organization kept its original function, it became much more. It became the place for applied epidemiology, and especially applied epidemiology in the sense of public service. And with that evolution, the membership becomes much more important, because to advocate, you have to have strength in size. And the organization has also changed in other regards. We have, as evidenced by this audience this morning, a very a great diversity in age, let's say. And this is the most recent distribution of people's experience in public health. And this is the most recent distribution of gender in this organization. So now, you know, now the typical CST member is a MPH-prepared woman with 5 to 15 years experience. And I think that's an important thing to recognize about this organization. And also, yeah, that could be applauded. And also, I went back and tried to find out who was state epidemiologist since the founding of this organization in each state and territory. That's a hard thing to do, especially since the CDC stopped putting it in the back of the surveillance summaries about 15 years ago. But I was able to find enough typical years, and again, demonstrating the evolution of this organization, and I would say the beneficial evolution of this organization. We've gone from 1 to 2% female state epidemiologist, 57%. And again, I think I want to point this out in terms of the nature of this organization and the evolution of this organization from a much more restricted organization, both in what it was doing and could be doing, to a much broader organization. So that now we are the professional organization of applied epidemiologists. We develop position statements that define what should be under public health surveillance. We have enormous contribution to the development of workforce, as we saw in the reception yesterday, with more and more people coming through CDC and CSTE supported efforts to train the workforce. We've become much more of an effective advocate in the debates about health care. Now including service in the CDC EOC. So I hope that this does a couple of things. One is that you become a member if you're not already a member, because that's very important to the success of this organization, because we have changed. When I started coming to these meetings, it was about 50 to 70 people in one room, one session at a time. So now it's very different. The conference is very different. The organization is very different. And that strength depends on people becoming members. Also, you can get this commemorative gold pin that represents the 60th anniversary of CST. And although I said CST was formed as a Conference of State and Territorial Epidemiologists in 1951, it was incorporated in 1955. So this commemorates the 60th anniversary. They're for sale, $5 each at the registration desk. And because of Massachusetts consumer laws, I have to say, it's not real gold. It's it's gold colored, but it's still a very nice commemorative and of this event.